What's wrong with you people?
Welcome to Not Another Baptist Podcast. And if you are called to ministry, you are called to prepare. See how you can be equipped to live your calling at Southwestern Seminary's Preview Day. When you attend Preview Day on April 12th, you'll get to see the campus, meet professors, and explore various degrees. Signing up is completely free, so register for Preview Day today at swibbets.edu/NAB. Kyle, it is marginally good to see you. Can I just say?
It's good to see you.
If you listened to my little sermon illustration clip on Sunday, and I probably sent it to you, I had a really rough go at it in trying to preach. My voice was absolutely shot. I tried to sing a song that is a little bit below my register. I'm a little more of a baritone. This is a little more of a bass, and it goes way down low. But my voice
it's easier to do in the early service.
In the early service, I killed it. Second service, a little worse. But dude, at night, like I hadn't talked for a while. I'd kind of rested, took a nap, and then my girls came to ask me something, and I spoke, and I don't know how to describe it other than like somehow the ghost of Adrian Rogers had taken over my vocal cords, and I started speaking in like this perfect like preacher voice. And I was like, man, I wish I could call Kyle right now. Let's record this episode, because it'd be like, welcome to Not Another Baptist Podcast. And it was like beautiful, deep, just, I was like, man, why can't I preach like this? Because I start preaching and it gets higher and higher and I start sounding like Matt Queen before I know it. Anyway, so we missed that opportunity. But while all of that was going on and I've been getting out of all of this crud, you were in one of my favorite states in America, Louisiana. Tell us about
Louisiana. That. Yeah, so I went and I got to spend some time with the District 8 Baptist Convention in Louisiana. Now, really quickly, this is not a separate state convention in Louisiana. This is a super association, is what I call it. The District 8 Baptist Convention is comprised of five associations in northwestern Louisiana. Their DOM is a guy named Ron Thompson, and their associate DOM is a guy named Jack. And man, they are just killing it. These two guys. So I got to preach at Calvary Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. Now, Matt, I got to share a story, because I spent about 20 years of my life in First Baptist churches. Okay. That was where most of my ministry happened.
I get it. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So, no, that was just because I served in a lot of small towns and they were all First Baptist churches. So, Matt, I am praying before my sermon. Lord, I thank you. It's such a blessing to be with the folks at First Baptist Church. And I kid you not, in the middle of my prayer, I mean, Calvary Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. But I was able to play it off. It was funny. And then I got to preach there and then preached at this District 8 Baptist Convention annual meeting. Now, Brother Ron, Matt, I know you're stepping out of an AMS role into a pastorate. Brother Ron is the DOM essentially for five associations. So in the fall, Brother Ron has five association meetings that he gets to lead. And then this annual meeting for their convention for the five associations total. So it was great. There were probably 150, 175 people in the room, Sunday night. And then we got to speak at kind of a pastor's round table in Natchitoches, Louisiana.
Known,
a lot of folks will know that from Steel Magnolia. Got to see the Steel Magnolia house. And then yesterday, got to go over to Ruston, Louisiana, and meet with some AMSs from Louisiana, and got to drive past the spot where Bonnie and Clyde were killed. There's a marker on the side of the road that has been shot up many times. That marker's in pretty rough shape, but got to stop there and take some pictures there. And then got to spend some time with AMSs in northern Louisiana and hang out with our friend Lane Corley, who's the Sin Network coordinator, Sin Network Louisiana coordinator. I mean, it was just a great time with some folks there talking about some rural ministry, rural initiatives that they're starting, and some ways that we're going to be able to partner with them to help out in some of those rural spots. So great, great time, other than praying and thanking the Lord that I was at the wrong church.
That was a really long version of a short story you promised us. But yeah. speaking of times that conversations can sometimes drag on and on and on, recently I was invited to come and teach and preach and everything at one of the churches near Farmersville, actually in Greenville. And I was invited to teach on Sunday school, which is ironic because I never go to Sunday school. And I haven't really taught a whole lot of Sunday school.
So you're an expert. Yeah, that makes you an expert. That's right.
And anyway, I know the tools and whatnot. It's also fun when you ask questions of teachers, just as if you ask questions of pastors, we tend to have the gift of talking. Well, we're paid.
Comes with the job. That's
so,
true. Yeah.
So you don't ever really get a yes or no answer from a pastor. You don't get it from a Sunday school teacher. So tell me what you love about teaching Sunday school. 15 minutes later, that answer finishes. Tell me what you don't like. 30 minutes later, that answer. But anyway, they were wonderful. It was great. We had a great time. One of the things we did talk about was the difficulty at times to get the conversation going in classes. Sometimes people come in and there's a buzz and people are chatty talking, and you don't even have to really get them to start. There's great fellowship and just camaraderie and all of that stuff. Then there's other times that you start talking. It's like, so what do you think about blank, 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 blank? And it's like crickets. And so I decided I'm going to do a little deep dive, see if I can find, for lack of a better word, maybe some discussion starters for small groups or Sunday schools or icebreakers, whatever. And that's when I found it's actually a little old, by almost 4 years now, almost, 75 icebreaker questions for church small groups. Now,
from February of 2020, before 2020 was normal.
Yeah. So before all of that, Aaron Wilson wrote this thing. Now, we're not going to go over 75, but he has some advice there. This is a great website. And hey, Homeboy may have written a follow-up. I don't know. This is just one that pops up when I search for it. And so we're going to put it in the show notes, encourage you to bookmark it, find your own whatever. It's a great resource. Honestly, you could use these maybe even on your church Facebook page, make a graphic. Like this first one, we're not going to go over all 75. Trust me.
But we shall review this article.
We will review this. But like the first one, this would be a great thing to maybe make as a little graphic on your church website, or it could be a discussion starter, which would be more difficult to go a week without, a cell phone or your car. So Kyle, what what do you think? What would be hard for you, the car or?
I just spent a half a week without my car, getting driven around by some folks in Louisiana. So I could do it. It would be much easier. And, the whole job thing, I guess, comes into play with a cell phone as well. However, we are taking a cruise later this spring, and I will be without a cell phone, I guess, for most of that week, because I ain't paying whatever it is to get the internet access.
Yeah.
So I'll let you know in like mid-April. How about that? When I come home.
Deal. So, hey, you're going to get into your lesson and so forth. And usually, like what I love about Sunday school when I do go, and certainly when I get to teach it, what I love about it as opposed to preaching is usually it's a monologue. It's just you sharing information to them. Obviously, it's much more than that. Just simple terms here. You are speaking, they're listening. In a Sunday school setting, it's usually more of a dialogue. Now, there's obviously different churches that, the sermon is a little more interactive, all that. So I get that. What I'm saying is generally, those are kind of the two different things here. And what's great about it, problem is, sometimes we get into the dialogue part and you don't have a lot of feedback, and it's like pulling teeth to get an answer, or it's nothing more than kind of yes or no, or Jesus, you know, you get the Jesus answers on everything. Like, what helps you get through the day? Jesus, like, you know, all that kind of stuff. So sometimes getting them talking and thinking through. And so that's where this comes in. So what's more difficult to go a week without that would cause some discussion. How do you feel about your first name you were given at birth? Kyle, is Kyle your actual first name?
It is. Yeah.
Okay. Do you
is,
like
is it? Matt your yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. It's mine is Matthew is the official.
Matthew.
Yeah. I obviously go by Matt. Of course, we all know Bart is Christopher, but he goes by Bart. So,
that's correct.
So that's something where you in the room, you're gonna have a lot of mix. Do you wish people happy birthday on social media? The last couple of days I've actually tried. And I realize it's just another thing that I just don't have time to do. But my wife does it every single day. The other
good thing for
my wife does with social media on happy birthday stuff is when it's her birthday, she will reply to every single one.
Yeah.
And I've asked her about it. I was like, why? She's like, I feel bad that somebody has taken the time to say it. And I don't, and I'm like, bro, let that go.
So I don't reply. I try to at least like or heart react or something. I like to at least react to everyone that's posted it. And even that's difficult. Matt, here's one that I want to know for you. This is actually number 5 on the list. But on a scale where 1 is a minimalist and 5 is a hoarder, where would you rank yourself? 1 to 5.
Define. Do I get to count books?
So I mean that is hoarding of some sort, right?
Okay,
so I would say
if we're counting like that kind of stuff, like books and memorabilia, 1,000% a hoarder. I've got 7,000 books, so I've got a gazillion books, 7,000 books. I think is the last is about that, and I've got every jersey that the Astros have ever worn, except for the all white with the red Astro star on the chest. And
from the 90s, yeah,
one of the away jerseys that I'm still looking for. So I have that, like, so I can say that I hoard certain things, but here's where, like, I don't feel like the general idea of hoarding, like, I don't want a keepsake, I don't want any of that kind of stuff. I toss it, like, and I just I don't like mess, I don't like all that just extra stuff, I don't keep stuff like that. So, books, all that, yeah, 100%. I was about to ask you, if you could only visit one of Disney World's 4 parks, which would you choose?
Man.
Animal Kingdom, Epcot, Hollywood Studios, Magic Kingdom.
That's so hard. I think I lean toward Hollywood Studios because I like the ride there. I like the Tower of Terror. Rock and Roller Coaster is great. And then, of course, they have Galaxy's Edge, which is a cool spot. So, and Toy Story Land. I guess it would be Hollywood Studios, but I could only do one.
Yeah.
How about you?
Mine is Epcot, 100%. Easy.
Okay.
I could be there all day. I would eat very well.
Man.
So I decided just to scroll, kind of like I do with my Bible reading. I just flip it open and see where God wants me to read that day. I'm just kidding. What is your favorite parable of Jesus? What is your favorite parable of Jesus?
Favorite parable of Jesus? Man. All right, so now I'm thinking, like, if I had to preach one, what would it be? I guess it would be the prodigal son. That's probably the one that I would go to.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of levels there, right? You got the father, you've got the wayward son, and then you've got the older brother. Yeah, I guess that would be it.
Good Samaritan, hands down.
Okay.
Good Samaritan.
Cool.
Best sermon I have ever heard was on the Good Samaritan, and there's certain phrases and just turns of phrase that is used in there that it's been so ingrained in me, and I've heard it so many times, like I've gone back to listen to it so many times, that I know that I can open that up and get to the main idea and all that kind of stuff and walk through some of that. It would be so easy. Scrolled again. Let's see. Here's one. I landed on Super Bowl.
Ooh.
What? This is kind of silly. No offense, Aaron. That came across weird. What are you most looking forward to watching during the Super Bowl. The game, commercials, after the show, I don't plan to watch.
Okay, so we are hosting the Super Bowl party for our youth ministry at our house this year. And honestly, that's right now, the thing that I am most excited about is watching all the teenage girls' reactions every time Taylor Swift is shown on the television. that's the thing that I think is going to be just a blast this year. And okay. And every time hearing all these girls squeal and just seeing people's reactions to it in the room.
Okay. Number 48, if you can get to it, which game show would you most want to be a contestant on? Family Feud, Jeopardy, The Price is Right, Wheel of Fortune, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
I would like to try my hand at Jeopardy, me that I am full of useless knowledge. And that's like the one game show where it would come into play.
Yeah. Mine is probably Wheel of Fortune. I can usually give me a couple of letters and I'm good. Like the thing, obviously the biggest question with Wheel of Fortune that would stress me out is the bankrupt thing. Like that.
Oh, yeah. Would you get greedy and keep going? Like one more spin.
Oh, just one more spin. That's a problem. That's why it would fall on me. Okay, let's see. Let me find one more. This also tells you kind of how dated one of these. If you need to buy or sell a used item, where do you turn? Amazon, Craigslist, eBay, Facebook Marketplace, flea market, garage sale, newspaper, classified.
So if I'm going to sell really something, if I'm going to sell something, it's the Facebook Marketplace. But most of the time, it's let's bag it up and take it to Goodwill because I don't want to mess with it.
Okay, the last one I want us to discuss, 34. Which live-action Disney remake has been the best thus far? Now, I'll add to this because we also now have The Little Mermaid, some of those. But Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, Cinderella, Dumbo, The Jungle Book, Lady and the Tramp, and The Lion King. I know you know which one is not on my list.
Yes. Yes, I know which one is not. You despise the live-action Lion King. My favorite, I think, is Aladdin of those that have been done so far. Beauty and the Beast was okay. I thought Aladdin was a lot of fun. I thought I liked Will Smith's kind of spin on the genie. It was fun. That was my favorite. What's your favorite?
On this list, I'm probably saying The Lady and the Tramp.
I remember you saying that you really liked that.
I really enjoyed it for some reason. I will add that Cinderella, it's one of my daughter's favorites. And the reason I won't call it my favorite is actually probably what is the reason it should be my favorite is the acting of the stepmother, right? In the, I guess, the stepsisters, the wicked stepsisters or whatever you call them. Like, I don't remember. Like, is so good. I was like angry. Like I stepped away. I was so angry at how they were treated. Like I was like, bro, I should not be this emotionally invested in this stupid movie. And so I'd have to say Cinderella probably should be just because the acting is, in my opinion, was so good and so believable of just how wicked and mean they were. But yeah, Lady and the Tramp, I still remember. I was all excited about Disney Plus, all this kind of stuff. Yep. I don't know if that was a little bit of that because I didn't really like the original of that necessarily, but I really enjoyed that movie. But cool. Lion King, it should have never been born. It was the worst remake ever, and I will go to the grave believing that.
Matt feels very strongly about the Lion King remake.
I did like the new Little Mermaid. I really enjoyed that one, especially the Scuttlebutt song. That sticks in my head and I can almost get most of the words down. But anyway, one more. When it comes to getting spoilers for a movie, TV show, or a novel you're excited about, which way do you lean? I avoid them. I don't want to ruin the story. I seek out spoilers. I want to know what will happen ASAP.
I try to avoid them, if at all possible. Now the one, Now that I have like kids that are older and you know they can see some more stuff, the exception to that is like plugged in, right? Going and reading like the family friendly reviews to know what we're going to be dealing with. But I try to avoid spoilers as much as possible.
Well, I usually embrace them.
Okay.
I don't like surprises. And so I would rather, as I'm watching it, and maybe before I'm going to be disappointed or something, I'm usually scrolling ahead on like what happens next, or like finding like whatever IMDb or whatever. I'm also the guy that, like, you know this, like I'll watch the game usually on pirated, you know, streams. I do pay for MLB TV, but we're in this ridiculous blackout thing. And, but like the MLB app on my phone is like real time. And so like, I'll know what's happening and then I get to celebrate. And so it's like, oh, I just close it already. Yeah. Or like, you see. Yeah. So
I remember we tried to do the live Twitter space during the ALCS this last year, so and you were delayed by like a minute. So I was like, oh man, this is, and you wouldn't see it for another 30 seconds after I thought.
Worst 2.5 hours of my life with you. Kyle, anyway, we're going to put this in there. Hey, look, get your people talking, and this is one tool that can help that. Just talk about stuff. And
they're good questions. Thanksgiving, Christmas, you know, so as we kind of get into that season again later on this year, I mean, there's good questions for all the time, but then some very specific ones for holidays as well. So, yeah, really good list. Way to go, Aaron.
All right. Yeah, way to go. 4 years later. Good job on this article. And we'll put show notes. And if you've done a redo of this, Aaron, send it to us, and maybe we'll do a follow-up. But until next time, I will be very broke, because tomorrow, we're recording this on Wednesday. Tomorrow, I am buying a house. And now I have two houses as of tomorrow.
On your first day as the pastor of Plymouth Park.
I'm not in the office. So, all right. Y'all have a wonderful day, wonderful week, and we're rooting for you. We love you guys. And until next time, may your coffee be as black as night and as bold as the gospel we declare.
What's wrong with you people?